The first reason we need to stay connected is in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. This passage addresses the need to live in meaningful community with one another as we wait for the Lord's coming in these last days. It's a clarion call to connect in light of Christ's coming. It's a last-day strategy for spiritual survival. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Anyone who reads the newspaper, watches cable news, or follows world events online realizes our world is on fire. The Middle East remains a global hotspot. Israel is in the crosshairs. North Korea is a nuclear menace. The Russian bear is roaring out of hibernation. Even those with a superficial knowledge of end times prophecy realize this world seems to be getting near closing time. Many signs seem to be aligning, giving us every reason to believe the coming of Christ is near. No one on earth knows the time of Christ's coming. But as believers, we're to live looking with an attitude of expectancy concerning our Lord's coming. See 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. This hope and anticipation should energize every believer with a renewed sense of urgency to be about the Lord's business. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 clearly states that a key aspect of that business is to stay connected with one another through the fellowship of the local church. The words, "the day of His return is drawing near," or "as you see the day approaching," as in NIV, indicate that believers today should be gathering together more frequently, not less, as we see the approach of the Lord's coming. With all that's happening in our world today, churches should be packed. As signs of the times proliferate, church attendance should be soaring. Yet sadly, we see the exact opposite. Malaise and indifference have set in. Do you remember what it was like in the wake of the terrorist attack on 9/11? Churches were filled to capacity and in many cases overfilled. Faced with the fragility of life, people sought solace in God and reevaluated what's important. However, the spike in attendance waned as life got back to normal. People settled into a pattern that fails to prioritize regular attendance at public worship. There's a humorous, well-worn but worthwhile illustration about a church that announced a special No Excuse Sunday to make it possible for everyone to attend church on a specific Lord's Day. The announcement contained the following incentives. Cots will be placed in the foyer for those who say, "Sunday is my only day to sleep." We will have steel helmets for those who say, "The roof will cave in if I ever come to church." Blankets will be furnished for those who think the church is too cold, and fans for those who think the church is too hot. We will have hearing aids for those who think the preacher speaks too softly, and cotton for those who think he preaches too loudly. Scorecards will be available for those who wish to list the hypocrites present. Some relatives will be in attendance for those who like to go visiting on Sunday. There will be TV dinners for those who can't go to church and cook dinner also. One section will be devoted to trees and grass for those who like to see God in nature. Finally, the sanctuary will be decorated with both Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies for those who have never seen the church without them. Ouch. That hits pretty close to home for a growing number.